Morning Grace. Wow, you guys are awake. That's exciting. All right. Hey, my name is Kelly Smith. I'm pastor here at Grace. Thank you very much for being here. If you are new today, thank you for coming. We're excited you're here. Today we are finishing our sermon series called What is Love? It's been a sermon series we've been going through the last 3 weeks in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talking about these different ideas of what love is. And this is really referred to as kind of the love chapter of the Bible. It's a great written book, a great written chapter that Paul put together showing what love is. And he went really through three main areas in this chapter. And they were this. The first one was all or nothing. It is what we started with. That if you do things but you don't have love in your life, you do things without love, they really mean nothing. Everything we do should be out of love. And that's where it comes from, is this love in our life, the love of God in our life. And if we don't do things with love, they really don't mean anything. They're worthless unless we have the love of God flowing through us and flowing into others. And then after that, the second part of this chapter looks at love is, and it lists all these different attributes of love. That love is not boastful, love is not envious. And it talks about what love is, that it's got these characteristics that should flow out from us to one another. And this love that should come out from us, this love of God inside of us, that goes out to others, and what that looks like. And then last week we talked about love never fails. Understanding that no matter what else happens, that prophesying, that gifts, that speaking in tongues, all these different things, they will fail, they will pass away because they will no longer have a purpose. When the end comes, when we're in God's presence, we don't need to speak in tongues. We're in the presence of God. We're speaking with God. We don't even need hope because our hope was fulfilled right in front of us. All those things fall away, but guess what never falls away? Love never fails. It never falls away. Why? Because God is love. And so when we're in the presence of God, that love will still be there. And so we went through all these things of how we have the love of God, this agape, this word agape that means God's perfect love in our life, and how that love is supposed to flow out from us to others. We've looked at that over the last 3 weeks. And so today we wanted to finish up the sermon series, say, let's get practical. Let's get practical about what that love looks like, about how that love plays out. And so the reality is a majority of the people in our congregation are married or are in a relationship. And so we said, look, let's talk about what that looks like. What does love look like in relationships? What does love look like in our lives? And how does that love look to each other? And so we wanted to talk today about love in relationships, specifically love that's inside marriage. Now, some people here are not married. They're single. Some people are widowed or they're divorced. Everything we talk about today will still relate to you because that love we're talking about is still shared amongst others, with our neighbors, with our friends, even with our enemies. That love we're supposed to have flows out. But we want to talk specifically today about relationships and about marriage. And so to do that, we thought it would be really good to have not just one voice in this, but maybe have another side to the story. So today, I'm going to be joined by my wife Denise. And you have probably heard many sermons about her or with her. Oh, thank you. And so one request she had is, if I'm going to come up here and talk with you, I would like a more comfortable environment. So we are going to welcome you to our living room, and you guys are going to come, and we're going to chat together about what it looks like to have practical love in our life. So if you guys would please welcome my wife, Denise. We have our coffee cups. She brought her kitty cat, so we're ready to go. I don't know if you can see mine. It says the sermon later. I'm ready to go today.
Mine's Marie from Disney. Oh, yeah, I know. We love goes her. With my kitty.
So today, we are going to be talking together and talking with you and being a little frank about things and being a little open about things, but talking about, oh, thank you very much. You know, I knocked that off. She knows me so well. She's like, that's going right on the floor. about what love looks like and what love should look like. And we wanted to start with kind of a caveat to say, we understand that everything we're going to be talking about today is looking at what a really perfect relationship should look like, what a relationship should look like in a marriage and how that should be strong, but that also understanding a couple things. One, we we're going to be talking about what a relationship should look like when God is at the center of that relationship and when both people have Jesus in their life. Because without that, we're on different places, starting grounds. So this is talking about what it looks like to have a relationship with God in your life and then a God-centered marriage. And to understand that we're going to be talking very generalities. So when we say this, it should, this is what it should always be, we understand that we fail, that humans fail, that we have problems, that we have struggles, that you, that there may be relationships that end in divorce. We may have relationships or people that are have been divorced and go, well, now this doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. And yes, it can. But also the people who have been in hurtful relationships or relationships that have had abuse. And we're, what we're talking about today is looking at how we can have a strong, God-centered marriage and relationship focused on Him. So I just wanted to throw that out right now because there's always going to be, well, what if? There will be a lot of what ifs. But we're going to be talking generalities of what it means to have God in our lives and what it means to have a real practical love in our lives. So we're going to start out right away with the first point, and it is this. Love is action. Love is an action. It's not just a feeling. It's not just how I feel about someone, because those feelings come and go. Love is an action because love is a choice. And if we see in 1 John 3:18, it says this, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." And that's a reality. We should be living with love as an action, with love as a choice in our life. Because guess what? Things will change when you talk about feeling-wise, right? You will have feelings come and go. They will come and change. I may not always like my wife, but I always love my wife. And I know there's times she doesn't always like me because I'm not always likable. But I know she always loves me. And so that's something we have to understand. Wait, who said that? Who gave the amen to that? But it's this idea that we love is an action. That it's an action and a choice we make to each other. And that love is something that we work towards with each other.
Oh, is it my turn?
You go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We're going to be real today, folks.
He's the talker, so you guys probably already know that. Right, so the choice. And love is an action. Work is an action. Love is work, right? We have to work at it. It doesn't always flow as wonderfully as it did when you first met or when you first got married, right? Those feelings, they wax and wane. But the commitment that you make with a relationship, with marriage, that's something that we have chosen to work through, good times and bad times, and we've definitely had those bad times. And something that we talked about, we kind of prepped for this, but we didn't specifically talk about this one thing that came up last service. We were talking about how when we've worked through those really hard times, like, not like, oh, honey, you didn't put the clothes in the hamper, not that kind of hard time, but I mean, like, really hurtful, you know, break your heart feelings of bad times that you have. When we've worked through those things and prayed through those things and been open with each other, those are the times that God has brought us together stronger in our marriage. And working through those things have, that commitment to work through those things have really brought our relationship to another stage, you know, where we really rely on each other even more. So,
absolutely. And love is a commitment. It really is a commitment to each other. And you will go through tough times. And if anyone says marriage is going to be perfect, they're lying to you or they've never been married. Because it won't be. You will have struggles. You will hurt each other. Because guess what? We are both human. And we are both flawed. And we're both going to hurt each other at some point. But we are committed to each other. In fact, when we first got married, we wanted to have a little fun. We drew up a document of actually what our marriage would look like. And that here's what I will... Now, that we were young and naive, so that was a great list. But here's what our marriage will look like. Here are my responsibilities. Here are your responsibilities. This is about what we both do for each other. But we were new at this, and we're like, look, forever is a long time. So we set a time limit on our marriage, 99 years. We're going to do a 99-year contract. At the end of that, we can choose to renew it, or we can walk away fresh and clean. When you're 125, you go for someone new and young. That's okay with me. I'll be okay with that. But we have fun with it. In fact, when I got for our 15th wedding anniversary, my wife got me a really nice watch. She's like, "You're a professional. You need to have a nice watch." And inscribed on the back of it actually said, "What did it say right there? With all my love." And it says 15 down, 84 to go. So
I'm not keeping track at all.
but it's that commitment that we have to each other. That love is an action. That love is a choice we make. And we make that together. And it's something for us that we've chosen to make. And in a marriage, that's what you have to have in a good relationship, is commitment to each other. To say, we're going to go through tough times. We're going to go through struggles. But no matter what those struggles are, no matter what that heartache is, we're gonna be there for each other. We're going to continue to love each other. And part of that love and part of that commitment means you have to be selfless. Because love is selfless. It's not selfish. It's selfless. And that can be a really tough thing sometimes, having selfless love. Right, Denise?
So this might be the part that I struggle with the most. So my parents divorced when I was young. I was 5, I think. And I got to see my dad almost every weekend, which, you know, was a huge commitment on his part to stay very active in my life. And eventually I had 2 half-sisters with my dad and stepmom, and I feel like I'm part of that family as well. But my normal day-to-day was just my mom and I. So essentially, the majority of my time, I was an only child. So while I wouldn't say that like I was spoiled, I didn't get everything I wanted by any means, but I certainly had one person's undivided attention almost all of the time. And so coming into a marriage, marrying someone who has 6 brothers and sisters, it was challenging. And personally, you know, like you have... my favorite ice cream is chocolate chip cookie dough. So it's not just like vanilla with chocolate chip cookie dough pieces. It's like chocolate ice cream with massive hunks of chocolate chip cookie dough. So the selfless person in me would save the wonderful last big chunk of cookie dough at the end, and I would savor that, right? And if my husband said, "Oh, can I have that?" the selfless person would give it to him, but I will not do that. So I want to eat that myself. My husband, on the other hand, would definitely give that to me. He would sacrifice that last piece of cookie dough ice cream. He would give it to me. So, you know, that's something that I definitely struggle with, is selflessness. I think it's somewhat environmental, but at my age, it's a choice. So I can choose to not be as selfish. And that's something that I really strive to do. In our marriage in particular, because I think generally I don't tend to be selfish with others, but you're who I'm most comfortable with. So I kind of take that out on you. So sorry.
It's okay. And I recognize that. We've talked about that she is a very giving person, everything. But I also know that being her husband, I try and make her feel most comfortable with me to go, "You can dump those things on me. You can do that," because she knows I'm always here for her. She knows that I've chosen to be with her and I'm going to choose to be with her forever. But this idea of selflessness is something that's really important. In Philippians 2:3-4, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." This can be a tough thing, looking not to your own interests, but to the interests of the others. But love is selfless. It really is. It's always looking to the interests of others. It's always caring for the others. Because my parents were very, very wise people, very smart people. They still are. But growing up, they did a lot of like marriage counseling for people and had like groups come together in the homes. They'd look at hidden keys for loving relationships. But I think it was Gary Smalley. Is that right? Anyone know? Yes? Yes. Okay. That's what I watched when I was like 6 years old. Like I would sit there and watch the videos on keys to loving relationships. So
you did it joyfully though, right?
I did it joyfully. I was so excited as a kid to watch it. But the neat thing was, as I grew up, I had all these ideas already of understanding this idea of being selfless. And one of the things they taught me was this idea of the bucket. That, and I've kind of talked about this before, that each one of us has a bucket inside of us to hold our love. That we each can hold love inside a bucket. And this bucket of love can either be full or empty. And if I'm looking to my wife and saying, I don't feel fulfilled, I don't feel like she's taking care of me, I need you to love me more because my bucket's low. Well, I'm asking her to give me some of her love. And she's going to give me some and I'll have some more. But guess what's happening to hers? Hers is just going down and it's empty. But for me, if I look at it the other way and say, you know what? I'm just going to love you. I'm going to love you. And I'm going to love you. And I'm not worried if you're giving it back. I'm going to get to the point where I've put so much love in her bucket. And that love I have is unending from God. If I choose, I can get it from God and I can keep loving and loving. And I love her to the point where her bucket is overflowing. She has to get rid of that love somewhere. It's going to come right back to me to filling up my bucket. To the point where both of our buckets are just overflowing. And we're full of love for each other. We're full of love in our lives. We feel loved. But that takes a selflessness instead of selfishness. Of looking to the other person to love them instead of being loved. And Denise will talk down a little bit. Like, oh, I'm kind of selfish in marriage. She's a great woman. And she gives. And she cares. And she does lots of things. It's just who we are. We all have, some of us, some of our own strengths, some of our own weaknesses in love.
Right, and don't get the impression that our buckets are always overflowing for each other.
Nope.
They're not always. We work on that.
Yeah, we do, and it's something we work on all the time. We recognize if we stop working on it, those buckets empty. And usually when we start going, I just don't feel really, I look and I go, have I been filling up her bucket? Probably not. And usually that's when I find out, it's me is the problem. I need to love her more. Or she'll look the same and go, it's me. I need to love him more. And now we're both full of love again. And so this idea that love is selfless is very important. And so when you have a selfless love, you're looking at the other person first. But guess what? Like she said, it's not always perfect. And we do have problems. And we do have struggles. And guess what? That's another reason that love does this. Love reconciles. Love reconciles. Love makes things right. Because guess what? We will fail. I will fail. We will have arguments, disagreements, struggles. But for Denise and I, we made a choice long ago that we're going to work through those things. And so we have to reconcile those things. We have to work on those things and fix those things to make them right. For us, we decided at the very beginning, Denise and I did not know each other very well when we first got married. We knew each other. I couldn't remember her name for a little while, but it didn't. Those are other stories for another time. I did remember her middle name, though, so that helps.
So embarrassing.
She's so proud of me. But we didn't know each other that long, and she was in the military, so I knew her last name because it was right on her clothes. It was very easy to remember what it was. But her first name, it wasn't printed anywhere. It was really unfair to me is what I feel like. But
he's going to be the victim now, right?
This is really, it's the military's fault. It's government, the government. I don't even know what he's talking about. Oh, yeah, I love reconciles. There we go. We decided early on that no matter what happened, because we didn't know each other well, we met each other, knew each other for a few weeks, never even went on a date and got married.
That's true.
That is true.
Yep.
So, didn't know each other that well, that we had to make a choice that because we didn't know each other well, we had to make a choice that if we wanted this to work, we knew things would come up from our past, we knew we'd have issues, we were going to make a choice that for us, the word divorce was never on the table. That we were going to work through anything. And there were, in that agreement we made, a couple different things where there was an option for divorce. If I ever beat her or the children, I was gone, and she was out of there. She was not going to deal with that. And also, so if I was ever abusive, and also if I ever was a serial murderer, because she's like, once I can forgive, twice it's a pattern. But anything beyond that, she said, we've decided we can work through. We can work through this. We can work through hurts. We can work through struggles, because guess what? We're going to have them. We're going to hurt each other. We're going to mess up. There's going to be things that we just become selfish about, that we don't do, and we're going to hurt. So we need to make sure that we we agree to work through them. And there's some things that can really help as you go, when we work through those things, and we're struggling through them, we reconcile, we go, we can make this right, and we can get through this, and we can get past that point. Some of that stuff has to do with just how you deal with each other, communication and stuff like that. It's really important.
Right, definitely communication has been one of those things that have helped us the most, and being vulnerable, which is still something that I struggle with. When we're vulnerable with people, with anybody, we tend to be more vulnerable with people we love. But you put yourself out there to hurt because you are telling truths that they might not hear, maybe some that you actually don't want to admit to yourself. But when you're vulnerable, that opens doors to things that you can pray together over as a couple, and things that you can work through. And there have certainly been times when I haven't been honest with Kelly about my wants or desires or things that are important to me, thinking that it would just be easier to do things that I think he would want. And that definitely leads to other problems. So, you know, just having that open communication. And also, a part of that is when we have disagreements, we're not like yellers or call each other bad names or something like that. That's not how we disagree. That's just not who we are. But we choose not to have like serious disagreements in front of the kids, just because we want them to see us in unity. But at the same time, we try to model, you know, what a disagreement would look like for them. So, we don't hide things from them if we're disagreeing about something. We have to make like a serious choice about, you know, their schooling or something like that. We do that between ourselves because they don't get a say. They're kids. They, you know, we're the parents. So, but if we have a disagreement over something, you know, everyday life stuff, we do that in front of the kids. And so they can see that, yes, mom and dad might disagree, but that doesn't mean that we don't care about each other. That doesn't mean that we stop loving that person that we don't agree with. We have to show them that that's okay to have different opinions. We're humans. We have different opinions about things. But also to see that you walk through things together and you talk about them and you work them out. So that communication has always been really important for us and growing our relationship in that.
Yeah, and it is important to have that communication, to grow in that together, to reconcile those things. And out of that reconciliation really comes the next point, is that love forgives. And this is a tough one because love forgives each other. And we can look at God's model of forgiveness on how he's forgiven us. And God says, as far as the east is from the west, it's gone. It's for God. It's out of there. He only sees our righteousness. But we're still human. And so I forgive my wife, but I can't forget. It's still there. This is one. This is my area that I struggle with. This is my area that I struggle with, is after I forgive her, to actually let it go really and fully and completely in my head and not let it sit there and just kind of gnaw at me slowly to the point where I'm just sitting there mumbling on my doggone it, Denise, what the heck? You know, it just gets to me. I have to really let that go and give that to God. Because I go, I have forgiven her. And I can't forgive her because God has forgiven me first. Right? It says in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, 4 through 5, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. And this idea of no record of wrongs, what we're trying to get to in love. That when you forgive someone, you don't keep the record of wrong. You don't sit there and go, 2 years later, let me drag this back up. You do something like, well, 2 years ago you did the same thing, but you forgave me. Did we forgive or didn't we forgive? And so love, not having a record wrong, is kind of what we talk about this. We're trying to go, well, what does that look like? How would that look? And so for us, we kind of said it looks like a game of chess. And how many people here play chess or know how to play chess? Few? All right, good. Okay. So the game of chess, right, you're trying to knock each other's pieces off the board with certain moves that each player can do. And when that guy gets knocked off the board, he's taken out of play and you set it right next to the board. This is kind of what it looks like when we have a problem in our life. There's a problem. Two things meet together from each of our sides, and something happens. And when we forgive, we say, all right, that is no longer in the game. That piece is no longer in the game. It's no longer going to define how we play this game, how we live life together. It's still there. I can still see it to the side. But if I focus on it, and I focus on that one piece that I lost or that hurt or something like that, the rest of the game keeps going on, and I miss moves that are happening. You miss things that are going on. We can't miss those moves that are going on. Once we've forgiven, once it's set to the side, we need to let it go. We need to forget about it and let it go and not continue to dwell on it, to really get forgiveness for it. It's an important thing. So when, for Denise and I, we've talked about if we're going to forgive, if we're going to forget, even though we can't forget, but we're going to keep no records of the wrong, for us, that means a simple choice. We've decided we are not buying a DeLorean. We do not bring up the past. The past stays in the past, and we leave it right there. For us, that's what it is. Once it's forgiven, once it's done, even though we can't forget it, you have to forgive. You really have to set it to the side.
Right, and this takes practice. We work on this. Because, I mean, as humans, we do keep records of wrongs in our mind. We have, that's a job that we work on, is not bringing those, you know, back into play. So that takes work.
It does take work. And some things, to be honest, in your life are better left in the past. Some of the things in your past are better left there. For us, we both have that idea of going, there's things that we've hurt each other with that have been those records wrong. But if we hold on to that, that's going to taint our relationship from now on. And so it's good to leave that in the past, to leave it back there, to move forward and continue on with the relationship and continue to grow with what we have. It's also good sometimes to leave things in the past, because the past isn't always that pretty.
I look good in those pictures.
Denise does, but for me, I don't always have a great past there. So we've decided to leave some things in the past because they're not always right. I will let you know, just so you know, those were the shortest shorts I've ever worn, and I will never wear them again. Just a heads up for you guys, as that's a, you're welcome. So, we want to forgive, and we want to keep no records of wrongs. That's what real love should look like. It should look like it's in the past and it's left alone. So, as we're talking about what all these loves is, love is, forgives, it does these things, something we do want to talk about is something love doesn't do. Love is not jealous, and love is not envy. And being jealous and envious is, to be honest, a natural human reaction. It's our skin. It's our human flesh. We are jealous people. We are envious people. It's part of who we are. And I do want to point out there is a difference between jealousy and envy. Envy is actually a desire to have a quality, possession, or other desirable attribute belonging to someone else. It's saying, I see something that you have, right, that you have, and I want it. So it's kind of two parties saying, there's something there, and I want it. Jealousy, on the other hand, is this. It's a fearful or wary of losing someone or something to someone else. It's saying it's me, I have something, and I'm afraid it'll be taken away. So there's a difference when I'm looking at envy or jealousy. Jealousy would be, I'm afraid I'm going to lose Denise to someone else or to something else. Envy is when I sit there and go, what you have, I wish I had more of, or I want more of. And we will be envious at times. We will have jealousy at times in our natural human state. But love does not. So a prime example is Denise and Charlotte just in January were able to go to Paris for 4 days. My wife's a travel agent. She found a super deal. Kelton did not want to miss school, so that meant I had to stay home with Kelton and do school. Thank you, Kelton, very much. And so my wife and daughter went to Paris for 4 days and had an amazing adventure, topped the Eiffel Tower. It was snowing in Paris. They were at the Louvre. Beautiful time. I got, you know, Facebook stuff and all kinds of neat stuff. I will tell you, I was envious. I sat there and went, doggone it, I want to be there. If someone should be in Paris with my wife, it should be me, right? And so, but I was also very excited that my wife and my daughter could be there together. Think of the relationship that grew between them. Think of the memories that grew. Think of what she got to experience. So this idea that even though I may have envy and want what she has, the reality is love is not envious. I was more excited for her love and for what she got to do. And because I loved her, I wanted her to experience that is a good thing. So love is not envious. Love is not jealous. And you don't want it to be those things because it can lead to other stuff.
Right. And like speaking about jealousy, we're often jealous of in situations, but that can lead to possessiveness and in a relationship that's not healthy for either person, right? I mean, I love the people that we are together, but Kelly's also his own person and I'm my own person. So for us to be able to have friendships, to be able to experience life with our friends or our children apart from the other person, those are important things. So, you know, if I to go to Paris with Charlotte, Kelly could have easily expressed that he would not want me to go. You can't go. I don't want you to go without me. And that would have not only been selfish of him, but then he's holding me back from something that where I could grow or Charlotte could grow or any of those situations. And that's not healthy for either person. And possessiveness can be very extreme in certain cases. So thinking about how you interact with each other in that way is important as well. So
it makes a difference of being able to live your life together as a husband and wife, but also realizing that Denise is her own person and I'm my own person. And we can live life together without having to be, I have to have every bit of your attention as well. I don't need to be jealous or envious because I know no matter what she does, she loves me. And she knows no matter what I'm doing, I love her and she is first and foremost in my thoughts together. So that's important for us to have. And that's why love, even though we may have envy or we may be jealous of things, love is not envious. Love is not jealous. The last thing we want to talk about is this, that we want to speak with love. This is incredibly important in our relationships. It's incredibly important in our lives. It says in Ephesians 4:29, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. How true is this not only in all of our life, but especially in our relationships? I'm sure every single person here can remember someone who at some point in their life has said something that is either harmful and hurtful and it has stuck with them forever, or someone that lifted them up and encouraged them at a certain time that those words have stuck with them forever. We can all remember going, I remember that one time that person said this to me and it changed my life. And it sticks with us. And those words start to bond to us and make us sometimes, that becomes our identity even though it shouldn't be. So we need to speak with love to each other. We need to have kind words. We need to speak truth. And sometimes we may speak truth to each other and the other person may not want to hear it. Or we may speak truth and it hurts, but we still can speak that truth with love. We can still love each other when we talk to each other. And also not only speaking words of love to each other, but another important thing is speaking words of love about each other. I don't know how many people here have been in situations where they're amongst friends or something, and that person is just talking horribly about their spouse, about how they can't stand them, and they always bug them, and they're driving them nuts. Just tears them down. And not only tearing them down, if that's how you speak about your spouse, is knocking them down to others, that becomes how you start to see them. And then that's how you treat them. And then that's how the world sees them. We want to be sitting there building each other up, loving each other, speaking words, speaking with love. But not only speaking with love, speaking with honesty and speaking with truth also. We want to be able to have real communication with each other. And you touched on that just a little bit ago, of having real open, honest communication.
Right. So that work part of being vulnerable and being honest and being able to communicate, even though being honest can sometimes cause hurt or be hurtful. But sorry, I lost my train of thought. I was thinking about something else when he was talking. We were talking at home about perception, too, about how some of those things that you might remember as hurtful, that might not have been how that person, you know, meant to say something you took it a different way. But in relationships, that happens too. In marriages, I always think about the man that buys his wife like a vacuum for their anniversary, and she gets all ticked off because she's like, "Why didn't you buy me flowers or earrings or something?" And he's thinking he's doing a nice thing for her because she always complains about her vacuum being broken. But you know,
I need to cancel that Amazon order.
So things like that always come to mind, right? He's thinking that he's doing something amazing for her, and she's thinking all he knows that I do is clean the house. So this idea of communication is so important in keeping that relationship in positive zones. So
yeah, it's.
And I was just going to say, and we're modeling what a healthy, God-centered relationship is to our children too, and we just happen to have children. We're doing that to our friends' children, and if I'm in the school and we're modeling good behavior, like these are things that it doesn't just have to be our own biological children or whoever we're around, but that's important because our kids are growing up and they're going to be having relationships, and how they should treat their significant others in that relationship and their friends, and how they should expect to be treated as well, how they should be treated with respect and honor, and what they should expect from the people that they spend their time with. So that's something that we hope to do. I remember one of the very first things we taught our kids was the saying, talk nice. Like, talk nice. Don't yell. Don't use mean words. Talk nice, right? That should be a pretty simple thing to think of, but we don't. Sometimes we let those emotions take over.
And it's as we talk those things and we're trying to say, we speak kindly to each other, we speak with love, we speak with honesty. Another part of that in a relationship is being willing to accept that as well. Is I have to let Denise know if I want her to be honest with me, if I want me, because for us, honestly, a few years ago, we went through some struggles, and it really all came down to we just weren't being honest with each other. And we had to really get to the point of, do we want our marriage to be just okay and based on we're putting up this kind of facade, or do we want to be open and real and honest with each other? And do you want to fall in love with the real me, and do I want to fall in love with the real you? And so we had to be open and honest with many things. One of the things that came out of that was the fact that I found
Wait,
out.
I think we're running out of time. So.
I know. I'm going to get it quick. Yeah, I know. Gotcha. Was that that Denise loves gifts and loves presents and all those kind of things. And but she had told me I didn't. She had always told me for years, don't give me anything for anniversaries. Don't give me things for birthday. I don't care. And so when it finally said, let's be honest, she's like, I lied to you. I want gifts. I want stuff. I want to be pampered. And all these things. I'm like, well, why didn't you just tell me? She's like, because I didn't want to bother you with having to do it. I just want you to do it on your own. And it came down to, I understood.
I wanted him to, like, come up with that all by himself, right? That's something I would do, but he's not me. So how could I expect him to do those things?
And it really comes down to this idea of once we're open and honest with each other, we realize who the real person is. But I have to make her feel comfortable enough to share that vulnerability with me, to share that honesty. If I sit there and she goes, I know if I'm open with him, he's going to judge me, he's going to not forgive me, all these things. Then why would she, right? This is where we have to be open, honest, loving each other, speaking with honesty, but creating the environment where that can be okay. So all this stuff we talked about today, all of this stuff we're looking at, it's interesting because all of it comes down to some of these key components of what it means to love one another. And it's really, when we're looking at it, kind of boils down to these four things. This idea that love is commitment, that love is action, love is a choice, right? Love is sacrifice. It's sacrificial. And love is service. It is serving one another. And when you really look at that, that if we want a great marriage, if we want great relationships, that we have to have those four traits. Where do those four traits come from? They come from God. Every single one of those, right? Love is commitment. It's action. It's sacrifice. And it's service. That's what Jesus has done for us. If we want to love one another, then we have to have God's love inside of us. That agape, that perfect love from God. Realizing that how Jesus loves us, when we accept that, is the kind of love we want to pour out to one another. And that's why love never fails. That's why love is perfect. That's why love is above everything else. It's this idea that God's love should be our love for one another. And that is something that can be tough. That can be real. And it can take years to develop as you grow together and you go through hurts and struggles and good times and bad times. But the more you do it, the more you let God come into your life, the more you focus on his love together, the more that love shines into each other. And the more our relationships can continue to grow and can continue to be God-focused and Christ-focused in all we do. I want to thank you guys very much for kind of allowing us to be here today, allowing us to share our lives with you. I'd like to thank my wife, Denise, for being here today.
Thank you.
And why don't we go ahead, and finish this service with prayer right now. God, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for allowing us to just have these experiences together, God. And Lord, we know that everything we have for each other, the love we have for each other, and the growth we have and all those things, it comes from you. It comes from having your love in our lives first and foremost. And it comes from the fact that you first loved us, that your love never fails. And that love we have in our life flows out to each other and flows out in our relationships, Lord. At least it should. And that's what we want to get to, a place where our relationship is so focused on you that your love flows out of us to each other. God, I know that there are many, many people, the majority of people here are married and are in relationship together, in marriage together. And Lord, for those that are, even for those that aren't, that are either widowed or divorced or single or wherever they're at in life, God, I pray that your heart would become more of our heart. That this idea of what love is would become more and more permeated in our life. Where we become more and more like you, God. So we can love others more and more like you love us. Lord, I pray that our relationships inside this church prosper and grow. So that as we grow together, closer together with you at the center, the church grows closer together with you at the center, and then our communities grow closer together with you at the center of it all. We pray all these things, Lord, in your precious name.